Hare Krishna. So continuing our ongoing reading with Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, part 1, chapter 7, Purna, the complete perfection. Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa, had spoken some harsh words to the Dwarkavasis, in particular the queens of Krishna, deriding them for their being second place in Krishna's heart to the Brajavasis, specifically the gopis. And of course this is a misunderstanding born of, in her case, senility. When people sometimes, when you get old, very old and senile, sometimes you speak things that aren't, you normally wouldn't speak. Even sometimes childlike things will come from the mouth of senior people who are becoming very old, senile. So that's one thing. But anyway, whatever the reason, it was a mistake, it wasn't true. The Dwarkavasis didn't really feel like that, they didn't want to feel like that. So now the Dwarkavasis are responding to Padmavati's harsh words. Devaki has already spoken and reminded Padmavati that actually she and Vasudeva just prayed to get God as their husband, I mean as their child. Whereas Nanda and Yashoda, or more specifically Drona and Dara, prayed for pure devotional service, prayed to be able to come and assist Krishna in his mission of giving devotional service to others. And therefore, Devaki says, they are naturally more thought of more highly and more affectionately by Krishna. It's natural. That's their position. This is our position. The residents of the spiritual world are not dissatisfied. Even they may recognize the superior service of another devotee. They're not dissatisfied. They don't feel ill feelings towards anyone. What to speak of those who are their superiors spiritually. Rather, they feel joy in their hearts, seeing the love that the Brajavasis have, or any superior has to them, because this principle applies throughout Vaikuntha. Because their motive and their heart felt feelings are solely for the desire, for the pleasure of Krishna. They only want to please Krishna. And therefore when they see Krishna being pleased by anyone or anything, well, they become pleased by that person or that thing, for that place. This is the nature of pure love. It is a nature of freedom from envy and material attachment. Envy and material attachment result in negative feelings towards others who are different than the body. Negative feelings towards persons who are superior to us in any way, materially or spiritually. But real spiritual life, and it's not that this is meant just to be for the ever-liberated souls in Goloka Vrindavan, this is for all of us. We all must attain this state of consciousness in order to be able to return back to the spiritual world and please Krishna the most we can please Him. We want to please Krishna the most we can. And we can please Krishna the most we can, not just by making our service, you know, exact and precise, that's a part of it, that's a symptom. When our service becomes very exemplary, becomes very perfect, that is a symptom that we are on the path towards having this mentality. But ultimately we must reach this stage of having this mentality of complete freedom from envy and absorption in the desire for Krishna's pleasure, for Krishna to be pleased. And these things measure the responses of devotees. And we can measure our own spiritual condition and the spiritual condition of others by these symptoms. And in this way, the devotee learns to behave with others differently. When superiors learns to fall at their feet and worship them and request service, what they can do for that person. With equals, they embrace them in friendship and confidentially reveal their hearts and inquire from them about their hearts. And with inferiors, they become compassionate and helpful, always wanting to uplift and to protect and guide and give shelter. So this, we all have to attain these states of consciousness, and therefore the exemplars of these things are given in Shastra. We are meant to follow in the footsteps of these personalities, means we are meant to develop the mentality, the devotional qualifications, the symptoms which by which someone is judged but as pleasing to Krishna. So we'll begin there. Now other Dwarkavasis are going to speak in order to reinforce this conception that Padmavati's statements about the Vrajavasis are out of place. Text 81. Ata Sri Rukmini Devi Saharsham Idam Abhavi Yad Bhakya Shavanat Sarva Bhaktanam Prima Bhardate. Uddhava continued. Then Sri Rukmini Devi rightly spoke. By hearing her words, all the devotees increased in love for Krishna. Commentary. Hearing praise of devotees greater than oneself, like the praise about to be spoken by Queen Rukmini, does not cause envy or discouragement for pure devotees, for pure Vaishnavas. Rather, it increases their eagerness to please the Lord by their own service. So here again, we see the symptom of pure consciousness. Another symptom of pure consciousness. That is, when you speak, the effect of your words is that those who hear them, their love for Krishna increases. This is the symptom of pure devotee. Wherever pure devotee goes, wherever pure devotee speaks, the love for Krishna increases. And the most advanced devotees, just by seeing them, a person's Krishna consciousness, love for Krishna will increase. We saw that practically in Srila Prabhupada's life. People even didn't know anything. Didn't know who he was or what he was or what Krishna consciousness was. Just by seeing them, they would, something would happen. They would be able to offer something special respect. When he was living in New York City on the Bowery, Bowery is one of the most degraded places on the earth still to this day, where sometimes people who live outside of America, they have this dream, you know, that America is like this, it's everyone's rich and everyone's happy and everything's going nicely. If you go to the inner cities, and you'll find, just like everywhere else, people living on the street, intoxicated out of their minds, unable to cope with the struggle of material existence. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Dhan Bhubadhan Ki Jai Shri Shri Kiri Dhan Jai Shri Shri Korn Thai Jai Bhuk Premanandi Hari Hari Bho. But this is the nature of material existence. No matter how expert a person or a group of people become, no matter how nicely organized and arranged their lives become materially, suffering and material existence is there, always. Because of the nature of embodied life, this must be accepted, especially in the beginning. It must be accepted without reservation. We must accept that this material existence is suffering. Otherwise, why would we have any impetus to go out of material existence? Where would our impetus be to go forward spiritually unless we realize that the problem is the material body? The problem is that we're in this material world. The problem is that this person or this situation or that situation. The problem is that we have ourselves chosen to come to this material world. And we are suffering our due lot, our just due reward. Anyway, Prabhupada would sometimes, he was such a great person that even these derelicts, sometimes they would even, he would step over dead people. Sometimes these derelicts would die on the street and Prabhupada would have to step over them in order to get into his door. You know, we're like thinking something is just a little this or a little that wrong. We get disturbed and the management is like this and the management is like this. But actually, Srila Prabhupada was crossing over obstacles you cannot imagine. He had to live in a place where he had to step over dead bodies in order to get into his room. But those men who were derelict, Prabhupada describes that sometimes when they saw him coming, they would stand up and they would part and they would hold their hands in a kind of respectful position and let Prabhupada pass. He was so exalted that even through the stupor, a drunken stupor, a derelict could recognize and see who he was. Because his love for Krishna was so deep and so pure that it just came radiating from his being, from every pore of his body. It would radiate and therefore he was effulgent. And when you got around him, you immediately felt better. You immediately felt more peaceful. You immediately felt secure. So here Rukmini is going to speak, and the words she spoke increased everyone's love for Krishna. Text 82. Ya bhakti-putradi vihaya sarvam loka-dvayartan anupekshamanaha rasa-divistati-chadid-ramaiskar Vitya bhajam stastratame namartaha. Sri Rukmini said, those women gave up everything. Their husbands, sons, and all else they had, disregarding their own fortune in this world and the next. Enduring distress, they worshipped the Lord in their own way, enchanting Him in the rasa dance and other pastimes. Ato hi ya no bahu sadhanotamai sabhyasya chintasya cha bhava yogataha mahaprabho prema vishesha bhavi vihi sat sadhana jnana padatva mahagataha. We can only hope to achieve Supreme Personality of Godhead only by following many rigorous spiritual practices. And we can meditate upon Him only by strictly training the attention of our hearts. But those gopis cherish such exceptional love for Him that they easily attain the success of the most advanced stages of meditation. Commentary. Digdarshini. Other devotees can only hope to follow in the footsteps of the Vrindavan gopis. And by the sincerest endeavors, might begin to approach the perfection that for the gopis was their natural birthright. For the most part, devotees can see Krishna only in their hearts. But the gopis serve Him directly with all their senses. Indeed, they permanently hold Krishna's attention. As Uddhava told the gopis, Yoginam api prajatimbo na yogino gantum api shamante yad jaya rupasya padasya pumso yuyam gatat jaya padam durapam. In your mood of separation, you have traversed a path on which even great yogis cannot go. You have made the Supreme Person the object of your meditation. Though other seekers can focus their attention on Him only with great travail. So this is Rukmini's glorification of the gopis. Of course, she has the relationship of a queen, and having that relationship, the married relationship with Krishna, the conjugal, a Sukhiya relationship with Krishna, naturally, due to the familiar nature of having Krishna as a constant companion, living with someone, develop naturally familiarity. And this familiarity actually disallowed the queens from feeling the levels of intense absorption, of eagerness for Krishna's association that the gopis had achieved. And she's likening that intense attachment, that intense affection, to the perfectional stages of great yogis. But she's saying the yogis, they can only get to this intense meditation by certain very intense endeavor and practice. But the gopis, without practicing, they naturally are absorbed in Krishna in a way far beyond the depth of a yogi's, the topmost yogi's ability to concentrate on Krishna. So great was their attachment for Krishna, and so great was their meditation on Krishna, that it completely controlled Krishna, and Krishna therefore was always present before the gopis. And he was present in such a wonderful way that even when he appeared to them inside them, when they were meditating on him, it was different than the meditation of anyone else. The gopis' meditations were so deep that they could actually touch Krishna and smell Krishna and feel Krishna's form and exchange all of the different sensual experiences that they could have with, that they had with him when he was physically present. They experienced those same things inside themselves. This is the level of meditation the gopis had. It was not a normal level of meditation. Not a normal level of contemplation. In the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar, after he had passed through the higher planetary systems and had entered into the abode of liberation, Mahakalapur, he met the Vaikuntha Dutas there. And the Vaikuntha Dutas, when they saw him, they were overwhelmed with ecstasy themselves. And they bowed down to him and they told him, you know, you are greater than us because you have a natural love for Krishna. Marangopal, son of Nanda Maharaj. We cannot attain that. level of affection. And we know, we have seen, we have noticed, when you pass through different planetary systems, you are not affected in the least by the opulences that were exhibited by the different perfected beings in these places. For example, in Tapaloka, you saw the four Kumaras and others exhibit such exalted states of meditation that their forms would actually change. They would transform physically in front of your eyes into the form they were meditating on. And not only that, when you were empowered by them to meditate on that level, wherever you looked, you would see your worshipable Lord. Can you imagine the level of perfection of meditation that it was achieved by these, that is achieved by these great tapasvis in Tapaloka? But still, you were not satisfied, they said. You moved on because your heart is completely dedicated. And then they analyzed. Then the Vaikuntha Dutas analyzed the difference between the levels of meditation of pure devotees in pure devotional service and great yogis. He said the contemplation of the great yogis is limited. They think that their method of worship is higher because it is done in the mind, and because the mind is more subtle and is less, therefore, constrained in the material world. They can remember longer, or they can experience sensations that are unavailable on the sensual platform. But the truth is that real meditation means when you can actually smell and feel and taste and perceive the minutest detail of the person you're meditating on, and ultimately interact with that person. You see, the yogis, they have these incredible ability to concentrate their minds, but they're not active. They don't do anything active. They simply enjoy the darshan of the Lord. But they're not, it's neutral. It's a neutral type of love. There's love, there's affection, but it's neutral. It doesn't result in practical exchange. And the experience, spiritual experience of one whose love has and meditation has resulted in exchanges, practical exchanges with the Lord, their experience is much more, much deeper, and therefore their ability to keep Krishna in their hearts is natural. They no longer have to force themselves. They no longer have to force themselves and stop to eat, stop to sleep, stop to do anything, you know, sensual. They no longer have to do those things because they are naturally absorbed. So Rukmini is praising the gopis like this because the gopis have achieved this level of devotion and meditation to the topmost extent. And it's so intense, their level of meditation is so intense, it's so selfless and so powerful that even Krishna, he cannot escape from their love. Not that he wants to escape from their love, but it's just so powerful. The ropes of their love are so powerful that he feels himself bound and he cannot leave their hearts. It's not that you can force Krishna to come into your heart and force Krishna to appear before you and stay before you. Krishna, he's the controller of everything, including us, including everything. He's not going to be forced by you, by your endeavor. But he is forced by transcendental, unmotivated, pure, unadulterated love and affection. Therefore, when he instructed Arjun in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Sadhana Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvaka, he said, those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me, Yuktanam Priti Purvaka, with affection, for them I lead them. how to come back to me. So Krishna is controlled by love. He is Bhaktivatsal. One of his names is Bhaktivatsal. He is controlled by the love of his devotees. Therefore, he's always feeling affection for his devotees. He's always thinking about his devotees. The devotee, the pure devotees on the level of the gopis, of course, that's the topmost level. No one can imagine this level. But all the devotees that are fixed in his service and are completely absorbed in him continuously in pure devotional service, the Lord always thinks of them. And therefore they can think of him without effort. Because it's the Lord who is coming to their hearts, and he's the one who's trying to get their association. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya glorified the method of the gopis as the topmost method of devotional service. Text 84. Tasyiva hi dharma karma sutta putra ghad vitas shu yaghabyo smadathadarai patitaya seva kadi yogika yukto bhava vado nakmat sadapadam chud bhava bhagyo vyamhapave Samshlagyo tachityat prabho priyajanagi vinat vanmahatmyakrit. It is befitting, therefore, that Krishna loves them more than us. For we are obsessed with our religious duties, social obligations, children, grandchildren, homes, household affairs, and so on. We are but his maidservants, worshipping him with reverence, like fallen, conditioned souls. We married wives should not envy his exceptional love for the gopis. Rather, we should always glorify that love, for it proves how very subservient he becomes to his beloved devotees. Commentary, Digdarshan. Speaking on behalf of all the queens, Srimati Rukmini, contrasting their own mode of serving Krishna with that of the gopis, admits that the service of the queens is inferior. Imagine, the queens of Krishna will achieve its constant association in the conjugal mood, are admitting that their service is inferior. What to speak of us, who can't even control our mind and senses for 5 minutes, and are always thinking thoughts and fighting with one another like cats and dogs, and we can't admit that someone else's service is superior to ours? What does that say? Because the queens consider Krishna their husband, their exchanges with him are restricted by social rules. The queens are bound by concerns for various worldly and religious duties, whereas the gopis have no concern for anything but satisfying Krishna. Thus the gopis serve Krishna in such indescribably exquisite sports as the rasa dance, whereas the queens can render only the conventional services a faithful wife performs for her respected husband. From the queen's standpoint, only the gopis of Braj possess the purest type of love. Krishna, accordingly, responds to that unique love in unique ways. Sometimes he hides himself outside a corner of a gopi's house and attracts the gopis' attention by making curious sounds. She quickly rises from bed and steals to the door, careful not to awaken family members, such as her mother-in-law. And outside, she meets Krishna and pleases him with embraces and kisses. Even during the day, Krishna is sometimes busy in a grove, selected for a secret meeting on the bank of the Yamuna, while arranging a soft bed from leaves and flowers He hears the fall, the sound of falling leaves, signaling that his beloved has arrived. He turns his face toward the path outside the grove, by which a gopi, on the pretext of fetching water from the Jamuna, is coming to fulfill his desires. Sometimes at dusk, several gopis become intoxicated by hearing Krishna calling them with the song of his flute. They run toward him hastily, their garments, hair, and ornaments in disarray. But when they meet him, he tries to turn them back with proud, deceptive words that cast them into despair. After they helplessly beg him to change his mind, he acquiesces, giving up his pretense. And when they realize that he was only joking with them, they become filled with joy, grab hold of the end of his yellow dhoti, and pull him into a nearby secluded grove. In such ways, the gopis of Braj enjoy the freedom of worshipping Krishna as their paramour. Whereas the queens of Dwarka admit that they are limited to worshipping him according to the principles of religious household life, subject to Vedic injunctions and social customs. Therefore, the queens declare, the queens should never envy the gopis, for a subordinate should never envy the superior. Maidservants in a noble household, for example, should not be jealous of the mistress they serve. In the Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, or there's a verse actually, in which Krishna is explaining that, actually it's Arjuna who speaks the verse, and he's arguing to Krishna why he should not fight. And he says, Bhishma is my superior, Drona is my superior, there are so many other Maharathis who are my superiors, and superiors are not to be offered a fight. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, this is very good reasoning, it's similar to the reason here given, and Srila Prabhupada in the purport makes this the profound statement that a superior should not even be offered a verbal fight, even if that superior acts harshly. In other words, even if the superior acts unreasonably, a person who's pure, who's actually a servant, will not speak back to the superior. So in this way, the queens are exalting the gopis and explaining how they are constrained by religious formularies and duties in their relationship with Krishna. But the gopis, they were unrestricted. And they, therefore, she's saying to Padmavati, therefore we can never feel ourselves, you know, superior to the gopis, or think that, you know, there's something wrong with the gopis. Why are you criticizing us saying this? Why are you saying that, you know, we're this and we're that, and gopis is, of course, the gopis are more exalted. We feel like that naturally. You don't need to tell us. In this way, they're exposing Padmavati. They're exposing Padmavati's senility and her foolishness, and ultimately her envy. Only envious people can speak ill of others behind the others' backs. Only envious people. And all of us in this material. Icha dvesha samuttina. Icha dvesha means averse. It means another definition means envy. It means all of us who are in this material world, we have this tendency to be envious of each other, of one another. And this we have to admit. Not that we keep fighting again and again to prove that we are okay, we don't do anything wrong, it's the other persons who are wrong. No, every single one of us who have come to this material world are envious. were envious of Krishna, what to speak of one another. Therefore, these levels of devotional service where the queens are speaking and glorifying the gopis, this is way far above envy and the symptoms of ordinary persons in the material world. What to speak of even exalted people in the material world. So no one should be envious of people who they are serving, especially if those persons are maintaining them in whatever way. Therefore, children naturally should give respect to their parents. They shouldn't talk back to them, expect equal treatment. Nowadays, with the so-called modern advancement, progress, progressive civilization, you know, the students are demanding more and more say in how the school is run, you know? And the women are demanding more and more things, and the workers are demanding more and more things. Everybody's demanding, because their minds are selfishly absorbed in their own, in what's good for them. They're not thinking of what's good for the superior. They're not thinking of what's good for God. They're not thinking of the natural laws that have put them under the subordinate position to material nature. It is our natural condition to be subordinate. Everyone is a servant. You cannot bring one person, Prabhupada used to say, you cannot bring one person forward who does not have to serve someone else, somehow or other. Even if you think, even these, you know, Bubbas out here, you know, that are like, they seem like they're free and they're nobody, they have to come like this to somebody, you know, to get the food into the mouth so they can keep going. Everyone has to serve. And even if they're thinking they're completely independent, they have to say something nice at least to the person. Or they have to say something. They have to do something. Rather than envy the Braj Gopis, Krishna's wives in Dwarka, admire them as perfect exemplars of devotion. Krishna's love for the gopis deliberately shows to everyone the greatest feature of his transcendental personality, his voluntary submission to the control of his dearest devotees. Please try to understand this point. This is such a deep point. Krishna is worshipped. This quality of Krishna, to be voluntarily submissive to his devotees, is his greatest quality. But we are thinking it's a great quality not to be submissive to anyone. We're thinking freedom means to be out of under the control of anyone. That's what we think. That's how we think in material consciousness. But here, Krishna is being glorified because of his submissiveness to his devotees. Voluntary submissiveness to his devotees. But no, we can't be voluntary submissive to the other devotees. We have to make sure that our rights are, you know, maintained, and that nobody takes advantage of us, and, you know, speaking this, that, politics, this, that. Means we have a long way to go. Means we have a long way to go to come to the pure state of consciousness, whereby we want to be submissive to others. The pure state of consciousness is being exhibited here by Krishna in the unlimited degree, to the unlimited degree. He wants to be submissive to his devotees. His devotees are subordinate to him, but he wants to be subordinate to his devotees. This is the test. This is the measure of actual love, of actual affection for another person. What to speak of Krishna? We want to be submissive to that person. The more you love someone, the more you want to be submissive. Therefore, Prabhupada would say, you can't just say, dear, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then as soon as the person comes and says, can you do this, can you do that? No, no, I can't do that, I can't do that, I don't have time, I just... If you, to the extent that you love a person, and a person asks you to do something, you will immediately fall down and yes, please, what else can I do? What more can I do? This is a symptom of love. This is a symptom of love. What more can I do? Not just that I'll do what you want, then what more can I do? And he looks for things to do, to please the person. Without daring to state it openly, the queens nourish a hope to become like the gopis. The queens minimize the value of their own devotion, blaming themselves for being attached to mundane religious and social duties, although in truth, the queens are free from any material attachment. Even if the queens are attached to their religious and social obligations, that is not a fault, but a virtue that enhances their special love for Krishna. When the queens speak as Rukmini does here, they do so out of natural humility to express their admiration for the rare fortune of the devotees. So again, we come back to the same point we've been discussing for many days, and that is that in the spiritual world, because there's no envy, no one thinks badly of the others. They speak highly of the others. Even if they think, even if they are in a very exalted position like the queens don't actually have envy. You can't really have material envy and achieve the position of being Krishna's eternal associate. But they express these things because they are naturally humble. They have come to the stage of natural humility. And natural humility naturally breeds a desire to be submissive. That's what natural humility means. Natural humility means to see everyone else as superior to yourself. Not to compete with everyone, anyone and everyone, to become greater than them, to be in the position they are in, or to have the facilities that they have, whatever. Therefore, sometimes Krishna's devotees appear to be placed in awkward material circumstances. Because Krishna is pleased with them. And he wants to test, he wants to show to the world the exalted condition of devotional service, the exalted position of devotional service. So he will place sometimes his most sincere and submissive devotees in great difficulty. Why? He doesn't want to hurt them. He can't hurt them. They're fixed. Their love for Krishna just increases no matter what. But he wants to exalt that. He wants to teach the world through the example of his devotees. And therefore he will put the devotees purposely in difficulty, or he will leave them so that everyone can see how a person is supposed to respond if they have pure love. So all of these things should be understood. They should be assimilated in a way that our hearts become satisfied. And then you can be satisfied, actually completely satisfied, in devotional service. The external circumstances do not matter. The ashram we're in does not matter. Whether we are high or low, whether we are rich or poor, whether we have facilities or no facilities, does not matter to a devotee, to a pure devotee. That's why the pure devotees control Krishna. Not out of wanting to get something for themselves, but by nature, naturally, Krishna is controlled by them, and he's always thinking of them, and therefore he is always in their hearts. cannot forget him for a second. Hare Krishna. Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Rukmini Devi Ki
Jai.
Sasnata Goswami Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Ko Premanandi Hari Ki Jai. Stop there.